Welcome to the Here to Be Human podcast, a podcast created to hold space for authentic human conversation through the lens of the feminine. Here we will dive deep into the realms of motherhood, birth, seasons of womanhood, and so much more. I am your host, Lucy. I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to another episode of the Here to Be Human podcast. Today I am here with Leah. Leah is a mother to her daughter Amara Rose, whose birth brought so much healing and a deep unraveling of all that she knew as she crossed over from maiden to mother. A planned free birth turned into a hospital birth, and with it, so many lessons. A mind-bending experience that will forever be a great teacher. Outside of motherhood, Leah is a musician, a front lady and songwriter of Eora-based band Kaioshi. Writing, creating, and performing has always been her greatest gift. Using her words and voice to express her experience of the world and touch others. Leah is also a sound healing facilitator, a huge journey in of itself that has invited so much expansion in her self-work through her study and practice. Leah has also taught music for over a decade, working predominantly for herself, sharing her joy and passion of music with children, teens, and adults. Navigating motherhood as a single parent and stepping into a new version of herself has been deeply life-altering. Experiencing matrescence in a society that has lost its reverence to mothers and connection to the feminine is a challenge, to say the least. But we show up every day with presence, compassion, and love, and continue to surrender to the beautiful chaos. Welcome, Leah.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited for today's conversation. It's something that's obviously super close to my heart and my literal day-to-day experience of like motherhood land. And we're gonna speak to the journey that is matrescence. But before that, Leah has said she'll share her beautiful birth story and her experience of birthing her little girl, and then that journey of crossing that threshold that is so big, so, so big. So I'll hand it over to you now. If you'd like to, we were saying off air, maybe starting those last weeks of pregnancy, how did you feel? A maiden still at this point facing that transitional period and that big journey of becoming mother.
So those last few weeks, I can't believe it was 2 years ago now. Crazy how the time flies. Those last few weeks of pregnancy were like awesome. Also very chaotic. I moved from Sydney to the Blue Mountains when I was like 37, 38 weeks pregnant. So, I mean, I wasn't moving, I was delegating, but yeah, I had kind of like, was trying to find somewhere to live, so that I could, you know, birth at home in the mountains. So yeah, once the chaos of the move kind of was over, I just loved just dropping into my body and like kind of nesting and getting used to my space and just chilling out, going for walks, being in nature, like, you know, trying not to I don't know, have expectations, I guess, of what I was kind of about to journey through. But yeah, I think in those last couple of weeks, it was very much like, ooh, when's she coming? I'm waiting. When's she coming? It was funny, actually. I was really locked on to a date. I had been seeing twos, 22s, like all through my pregnancy. And I was like, oh, she's going to come on the 22nd of June. And I was so like, I was like locked on. So when she actually, well, when I went into early labor, I was like, oh my God, she's not meant to come yet. What do you mean? Anyway, so it took me by a little bit by surprise. But also I think like even a lesson in itself of just not like why did I attach to number 22? Like so ridiculous. So where were we? We were so I went into early labor maybe like for about 2 days. I was feeling a bit crampy. It's been a long time since I've actually even told this story. I was feeling quite crampy for a day or two, and I sort of thought like, oh, like that's a bit odd, but again, like I didn't really think much of it because I was still attached to this like 22nd of June situation. And then so on the 15th of, not on the 15th, on the 13th of June. Yes, because she was born on the 15th. So I went to bed, I went to sleep and slept for like maybe half an hour and woke up, like literally like woke up, blinked my eyes open and my waters broke in bed. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, I have to roll out of bed, like, protect my sheets and take my pants off. And I was like, it's happening. Yeah, so my waters broke and I was like, awesome, we're on. And this is at like, I don't know, 11:15 at night. In hindsight, I should have gone back to sleep. But I was too excited. I was like, oh, I better just like set the space up and like set up my fairy lights and like light some candles and like, you know, made a batch of like Labor Aid, which was like a recipe I found from like Jane Hardwick Collings in her book 10 Moons. I was just like, I'll just potter and like, you know, do bits and bobs. Because the surges were like super chill. Super chill, like pretty sporadic, like pretty far apart, and mild at first. And anyway, so yeah, I potted and set up the space and I was like, oh, I'm kind of like too excited to go to sleep, but like maybe I should rest and oh, I don't really know. Anyway, and I had like my two friends, Sophie and Amy, who you well yeah, you did some sessions with them actually, regarding the birth. Yeah, I sort of just thought like I'll let them have a nice big rest and I'll call them in the morning. I was also just really enjoying being alone. I was really loving being alone. And like, it's funny in like, again, in hindsight, like anytime I had like a dream or just like envisioned my birth, I was by myself. But then I had kind of like, I don't know, just yeah, people external noise kind of saying like that's crazy. You can't possibly do that all alone, you know? So I kind of felt like I kind of bought into that a little bit. Even though I think I was probably most comfortable by myself. Anyway, so I kind of like I labored through the night. It was mild, but it was really like it was really enjoyable, actually. It was really enjoyable night. I think around like maybe like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, the surges were like a little bit more intense, but only, yeah, in a good way. Like just needed to do some deep breathing and like different, you know, like explore positions and stuff like that. So I think at that point I was kind of in and out of sleep for an hour or two. And then I decided to call Sophie, who had like a 3 hour drive. She had like a 3 hour drive to do. So I was like, look, I'll call her early because it'll take a few more hours for her to get here. So I called her. I was like, I've been like, early labor all night, blah, blah, blah. She's like, ah, so excited. she was like, all right, I gotta pack my shit and I'll drive to you. And then Amy, who lived just down the road, like lower in the mountains, I rang her and just said like, this is kind of like approximate ETA, so just come around this time, like no rush, everything's like good. So I think then at that point I tried to have a little bit more rest while I waited for them. And then they arrived around like 9 in the morning, maybe. And yeah, it was just really exciting. I still felt quite what's the word? I still felt quite like not like animated, that's not quite the right word I'm looking for, but I didn't feel like I was kind of going in yet. Like I still felt quite chill and like we were just like having chats and laughing and like wasn't just like yeah, it wasn't like serious, super serious yet. We're just having a bit of fun. And then maybe like a couple of hours later, I asked the girls to run a bath to sort of see how the water would feel. And because things were kind of like, yeah, sort of spicing up a little bit, like kind of needing to just like do some deep breathing and like get into the zone a little bit more. Like I felt like I was needing to go in a bit more than stay out. Yeah, so I hopped in the bath and that was really like, yeah, that was kind of the first really big moment for me, I think, during the birth where I just like kind of fully, I don't know, just felt like a massive release, a massive release. I am a person that holds on quite a lot and holds it in quite a lot. And like I don't, like I, yeah, I'm not a overly emotional person, I guess. And I feel like I had a lot, like a lot to release because I've been holding on to a lot for a really long time, actually. And yeah, in the just getting into the water, like, yeah, I just, but like sobbing, burst into tears, like was just like, wow, this just needs to, yeah, this needs to, I need to let go of this, like whatever that was. Just carrying, yeah, carrying a lot. And it was, yeah, it was beautiful to be able to just be held through that, I think. Like that's a big part of why I hold things in, is from lack of being held in the right way. So I think it was just, yeah, it was really, really beautiful to be able to just let go of all of that and like be, yeah, completely held. And anyway, I remember the water getting cold. That's right. I was like, okay, it's cold. I want to get out. I had one of those really big, those like spa baths, those like triangle baths. Yeah, I sort of when I moved in, I was like, oh, awesome. But then I was in there and I was like, oh, it takes really long time to fill up and then like gets cold. And anyway, it was logistically, I didn't think it through. Anyway, so the water was getting cold. And I got out. And then I just spent the next few hours like, it's really quite hazy, but most of it I was just on my bed, like kind of trying different positions. I think I did do some walking outside for a little while too, but it was just like too hardcore being in the sun. Like I just wanted to be kind of in my little space with my candles and my music and
And what was your
yeah.
internal dialogue during this time? Like, were you think like what was going on inside your head?
Well, I think I don't know. Because I really had like thrown myself in the deep end a little bit, like having had like I don't know, intended to, birth freely at home. And I had so much like not shade, but just like I dealt with a lot of like I don't know, not yeah, lack of support or just like misalignment with like some people close in my sphere and stuff. So I think for me, like some of it I was still thinking like little bits and bobs of that story would kind of drop in and be like, oh, am I like doing the right thing? Like I think I was questioning myself a little bit, but I just kept coming back to being like, no, like I know my body, like I trust my baby and I trust my body. So I just have to take this like a moment at a time, basically. That's kind of what I was really trying to go with, like, because I had no idea what to expect. And I really didn't, yeah, I didn't want to hang on to, expectations. So yeah, I was really just trying to go, from moment to moment without like, it's just we hold so much, like just trying to go from moment to moment without even like without kind of ju like judging myself for questioning things too. Like it's just a roller coaster. And so yeah, when I was laboring on the bed for the next few hours, like I think that was when things changed for me. Like when I kind of hit that afternoon, that was when things started getting really hard for me. In that, like even just the pain of the surges were like, they really went from like, yeah, be quite beautiful and like beautifully intense to just like really hard, really quickly. And I think even that I wasn't, yeah, like I wasn't expecting the pain, and I also wasn't expecting to feel so overwhelmed by it as well. I didn't expect to feel so overwhelmed by the sensations and the experience. And so yeah, that's when I had a lot of back labor actually. That's right. I had like really bad back labor. I think she was posterior. So I had a lot of, yeah, just a lot of pain in my back. And I kind of was, yeah, trying different positions, but really finding it very hard to get comfortable. Sort of starting to tense up a lot. And that overwhelm, yeah, that overwhelm was sort of not turning into fear. I really didn't, even though like, it did get my, yeah. It did get really intense for lots of reasons, which I'll get to, but I never really felt fearful of what was happening. I didn't really feel afraid for my baby. I knew she was fine. I just really felt, yeah, I'd kind of just like locked on to the physical. I found it really hard to move through the intensity, of the surges. And so yeah, so that's when I started. I actually remember I looked up at the girls and I was like, oh, can't do this. Can't do this anymore. I can't do this. And like, yeah, I just but again, like burst into tears. I was like, don't think I can do this. And they were so beautiful. They were like, you're doing it. You are doing it. Like, and but I was unconvinced at that time. I actually asked them to call my mum at that point. I was like, I want mum to come, which is funny because me and mum had lots of conversations like during my pregnancy and about how I was choosing to do everything. And we'd decided together that she wouldn't be at the birth because she's beautiful, so beautifully nurturing and caring, also can be quite anxious. And we agreed that maybe if she couldn't keep her anxiety kind of out of the space, then it might be best just to have her close by, but not actually there. But yeah, it was classic. I hit that point and I was like, I want my mum. I want my mum here. So she was just up in Lura with her sister, because her sister lives up there. So she was also like, she was really a close drive away. And so we got mum there. And yeah, and it's funny, like it was so nice to see her, but also immediately I could feel her stress too. I felt like, yeah, like I was kind of stuck. It was, yeah, I was just kind of stuck in the pain a little bit. I just couldn't like quite move through it. I couldn't quite move through it. And that was, yeah, it's true. I think it was hard for her to witness.
What do you think now, in hindsight, you needed in that moment? Or do you think there was just this was your initiation and that's just how it was meant to be?
It's funny, I can like I have two answers to that. Like I think what I really, really wanted was just to be alone. I think that, yeah, a part of me thinks that I just needed to do the experience alone. But the other part of me thinks that I also needed to have this, experience of doing something hard and receiving support. That's like support, like su yeah, receiving and like support were like have been massive themes for me, like but like pregnancy, birth, and and beyond. So, I mean, look, I feel like it was an experience that I was supposed to have because I could go, otherwise I just get, stuck on a loop of like, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, or I should have like been alone, or I should have listened to this, or I should have made this call, or whatever. Like I do think in my heart that it was, yeah, necessary for me to go through it the way that I went through it. And so yeah, and so I think at that point, I think that they rang you. I think Amy rang you, right? And you came
Yep,
into the
I
space too.
popped over.
Which was, yeah, and you were like, well, what, you would have given birth to Finn like a couple of weeks later. They're basically like the same age, aren't
I
they?
think a month later, they're 4 weeks, I think, yeah.
Which is so funny. Yeah, no, I think like it was really, actually really beautiful to have your presence in the space. But then I also started getting really like I started getting really concerned about everyone else. Yeah, I started to get really like oh no, this is too chaotic, like Lucy's like she's about to give birth too, so it's too chaotic for her to be around. Like, my mum's really stressed, and like, yeah, I started sort of really like worrying about everyone. Yeah, which anyway, which is fine.
Totally not what you need to be doing when you're in debt
No,
in labor land.
definitely not. yeah, I think it did pull me away from my own yeah, it just pulled me away from like being able to tune into what I needed, I think. And yeah, which again is just like another massive lesson for me in terms of just like just needing to trust myself like 1,000%, you know, and back myself more. Which I do like, I do that. Or yeah, I do that. I'm actually quite stubborn in that, like, this is what I'm doing, and you know, but yeah, I think in that moment, because I was just, yeah, obviously experiencing some, you know, a massive initiation, I felt like, yeah, a bit unsure of what kind of what was my, yeah, intuition and what was my kind of conditioning, and then like lots of people in the space, and yeah, there was just a lot going on, and then it got even crazier. It got even crazier. I actually remember, oh, is little Miss Amara waking up? She is.
That's okay, go grab her.
I'm gonna just have to pause for a moment.
All good.
Be right back. Yeah, so I started to I started thinking like, oh my God, maybe I do want to go to the hospital. That's what, like, when that thought came in, it was really confronting for me because I umbrellas in the ranks, it's raining outside. Yeah, I found it really confronting because I was so adamant that I wouldn't go to hospital. Like all throughout the process of, yeah, just planning my, yeah, just everything, the planning, and just I was so against it. Probably to my de like not to my detriment, but I think that's why I found it so hard, like post-birth. Like I had a lot to kind of deal with because the plan didn't go to plan, and it, you know, all of that jazz. But yeah, I sort of started thinking like, oh, maybe I do want to go to hospital. Like I'm just in so much pain and I just need to rest. Like for me, it was, I hadn't slept in like 40 hours. I couldn't eat anything. Like I just felt so done. Yeah, I felt so just so depleted and so done. Like my body wasn't, I actually, yeah, I felt like my body wasn't progressing. Like I felt like I was stuck because I was so tired. And so I kind of thought like, oh, if I can just get some, yeah, some pain relief and have some sleep, then everything will, you know, everything will keep going. But yeah, when that thought came in, I just sort of started thinking like, oh my God, am I failing? Like I had lots of thoughts come in, like, am I failing if I go to the hospital? Like, you know, am I giving up? I'm not good enough to do this on my own? Like, you know, can I still have an empowered birth at hospital? Like, or do I need to drop my ego and just like let go of this and receive this support? You know, like, yeah, there was a lot, like a lot kind of coming in like at that point, whilst also just like, yeah, dealing with like lots of people in the space and really intense surges, and anyway, it was just like a lot going on. And I Sophie called, I decided to like suss out the hospital situation. And Sophie called Katoomba Hospital just to say, like, hey, my friend's in labor. Like, she's been labor, you know, she's, you know, everything's fine, but we're just wondering, like, if, you know, if we can come in if we need to, kind of thing. And I don't really know what happened, but the woman on the phone, like, misconstrued what Sophie had told her, thought like, and had just like, she had understood it as like, oh, there's just like a crazy lady who's like 43 weeks pregnant, birthing by herself, like, and she called the police to come and do a welfare check. So then, like, you were there for that, right? And then, so
Yeah.
then four police showed
It
up at
is
my house.
insane. Also, what are police gonna do?
I know.
Like, it was so insensitive. It was a bit, oh, like a massive overreaction. It was wild.
It was.
It's wild how people panic when birth doesn't fit into a box. They're like, oh my God. And they, all the lights and sirens appear. Yeah. And she'd completely got the situation wrong, this one midwife.
Yeah, totally. It was just like one piece of information was she heard wrong, and then it was just like on comes the hysteria, and then they, I mean, luckily I didn't have to kind of deal directly with them. I mean, I think at that point I was grateful that I had like more people in my space than I had intended, because I didn't have to talk to any of them. But yeah, it was just intense. Like, was just intense. Like having, yeah, four cops out there, and then like, and then an ambulance rocked up too with the paramedics. That's right. So it was just like the two paramedics and the four cops, and then like, and then you and my mum and Sophie and Amy. So there was just suddenly like 10 people in my space, when like all of my like dreams were like zero, so there was just a big like,
Rock, crab,
oh,
sea.
I rock you. It was just like a big, yeah, shock, I think, a bit of a shock to my system.
Sea.
And you're pretending to sleep like a baby. Yeah, it was just insane, actually. But yeah, the paramedics came in and like, they were really lovely. They were really nice. I'm not sure if you
Sea.
were still there at that
Oh,
point or if you had left. But yeah, they were really lovely. And then I had decided at that point, that I would go down to Nepean Hospital. Yeah, interestingly enough, like, in the case of going to hospital, Nepean was not my first choice. Katoomba was my first choice, but because that whole situation, I was like, I don't think I should go there because she's just sent like all these cops to my house. So we decided to go to Nepean. I had like nothing organized. I had no bag packed because I had been so adamant that it was just like that was not going to happen, So there's Amy like trying to pack a bag and like, just like trying to get all my shit together to get into this ambulance and go to hospital. And Amy rode with me in the ambulance. And my mum and Sophie drove down in mum's car. And like, yeah, even just like honestly, like being in that ambulance, sitting on a stretcher, like in the like yucky lights, like I was like, actually they dimmed the lights for me in the ambulance, which was nice. But yeah, I was just kind of like, fuck, like, how did I end up here?
What a trip for you.
Yeah, I was just like, how did this even, like, anyway. But also I was like, this is what I need. I was also still just like, I need to rest. This is just like, this is what's happening, And we got to the hospital. Like, I actually had, to be honest with you, I actually had like a very, very beautiful experience. Like, I actually felt super supported, and very respected Like, I think it was more just like, I think, yeah, what I needed to work through was more like my own, like myself having to making that call to go, if that makes sense. But my actual experience there, was actually really good, like
That's
really
so
positive.
amazing. And you're really calling in wanting to feel like held and supported. So like, and then that's what you got ultimately, which is so amazing.
I think, once I got there, I like, yeah, I kind of like I met my midwife. She was, and I had one mid, like, I was worried about the, lack of continuity of care and stuff, and but I had what was her name? Lisa. Her name was Lisa. She was my midwife. She actually like stayed on like past her shift so she could stay with me until Amara was born, and even post she was born, which is super nice. But yeah, so I got there and they were like, oh, what's the, like, what's the go? And I was like, look, I've just, like, I've been laboring at home and I'm really tired, and I want an epidural. I just like became, I became that lady of just like, give me the drugs, give me the drugs. I was so like, I'll never be that person. But I just was like, someone give me some drugs. Like, give me some, like, I can't, yeah, so I got there and yeah, I was like, I need drug, like, I need an epidural. I need to sleep. I need, and they checked me. They checked me to see how dilated I was, and I was like there, like 4 centimeters maybe. And I had been laboring for like almost 24 hours, maybe like 20 something hours, like mostly in active labor. I was just like, are you serious? But like, yeah, I mean, I feel in my heart that like, if I was kind of better fueled, like more rested, better fueled, I think that it would have been different, yeah, I mean, like the whole situation of like the police, like all the things that had happened already, I'm sure had like slowed things
Absolutely.
down as well. And just having to make so many decisions. But anyway, like I said, it really, yeah, was meant to kind of unfold that way, I guess. But yeah, so checked me and I was, yeah, 4 or 5 centimeters. And then like the like anaesthetist, I can never say the word,
Anita
was like about to come into my room to give me an epidural. And then got called away to like emergency cesarean, and then so and then didn't come back for like 6 hours or something, 6 or 7 hours. So I just kept going for 6 or 7 hours in just like, yeah, again, like just very, I was just very stuck in the like in the pain of it. I just couldn't, like, I just couldn't move through it. I couldn't move through it. And they gave me like water injections into my back, which is literally like the most horrendous thing I've ever experienced. Actually, it was way worse than even the surgeons. I was just like, yeah, anyway, that's
They're like
I
wasps.
actually screamed
They're
when they
like
did that.
wasp stings, aren't they? They feel like wasp or bee stings.
Yeah, super stingy. I actually like screamed. Through all of my labor, I was really like low and like vocal and like hyper aware of like the kind of sound, like sounds and open sounds that I kind of should be making and wanted to make. Yeah, the anyway, the yeah, the injections were just like, I actually, yeah, just screamed. I've literally never screamed like that in my entire life.
Did they
Anyway.
give you relief after?
No, they didn't do anything.
Oh, no.
They didn't do,
That's
I
not
thought they
good.
would help. Yeah, I thought that they might help the back, my back labor a bit, but
For anyone
gosh.
who is listening and doesn't know what water injections are, they're just like underneath the skin, little bits of saline water that get injected onto pressure points that are meant to then, if you know the gait control theory, it's meant to, help alleviate some pain. But yeah, they don't always work, but yeah, basically working on pressure points. And some women get amazing results though. Like, it's just such a shame it didn't work for you. So you labored for 6 more hours, like after hitting that point of being like, I need help, I need some pain relief. And then to not have that come is like so intense. Like, women are amazing. Like, honestly, it's like the things that we can push through. Like, I feel like it's also, it can, such an analogy for motherhood as well.
I know. You just, it's like when you think that you cannot give anymore, you just keep giving.
It's like, how is this possible? Yeah.
It's crazy. And that was, yeah. I think like, yeah, I just sort of think like I remember being in that moment of like, I can't go on. I can't go on. And then just
Going
going
on.
on. You just have to keep going.
So then finally the anaesthetist rocks up.
Yes, finally at like God, what time? Maybe like around midnight or something. The time very hazy on the timestamps. Yeah, maybe around midnight or so, or even 1 a.m. actually, maybe a bit later, 1 or 1:30. I seriously remember like they well, I remember having to try and stay still through the surges while they like prep your back and pop the needle in and everything. But I remember once it kicked in, I was just fully like, oh my God, I can finally go to sleep. Like I just need to go to sleep and everything's gonna just like keep working. 'Cause I think at this point too, that's right, after I got the epidural, she checked me again and I had not progressed at all. So I was still at like barely 5 centimeters after like another, 6, 7 hours of like of laboring there. So she actually said to me like, look, I'm gonna like come and check on you, in a little while, and like if you haven't progressed, we're gonna have to discuss like Syntocin and injections. And I was like, let me tell you something right now. Like, I promise you, I just need a little bit of sleep and everything's going to be perfect. And like, they were really awesome. I kind of, once I got in there, I was really like, all right, this is what I'm okay with. This is what I'm not okay with. This is what I consent to. Like I came in like hard and fast with the boundaries. And like, the girls knew, like, I had prepped them on everything that I was okay with and not okay with in a hospital setting. And like the midwives were awesome. They were just like, cool, we get it. We can do that, we can do this, which was really nice. So she's like, we might need to discuss this. And I was like, we definitely won't be discussing that. Everything's gonna be fine. And so I went to sleep for maybe like an hour and a half. And then she came and checked me and I was like 8 centimeters. And then I slept for another hour and I was like fully ready to go. So it was just like,
You knew your body so well.
yeah, I did. It was just like, even though the environment wasn't what I expected, I think I still was like doing the best that I could at listening to what I needed. And that was just what that was what I needed. And so at that point, actually, She was like, okay, you're like fully ready to go. I'm gonna just give you like a little bit more time to rest and then we're gonna start pushing. And I was just like, oh, cool. So I remember just laying there being like,
Yeah, how did you feel?
I was really like, okay, we're gonna push soon. Like, I wonder what that's gonna be like, particularly because like I've had an epidural. I'm gonna have, less feeling and less sensation, and I'm not gonna be able to move around freely. And like, I was very just like, I wonder how this is kind of gonna go down now. And also, I was like, I'm gonna meet my baby really soon. Like, I
Yeah.
was really excited and like nervous and just like, I don't know, just going with it, just trying to like roll with the punches a little bit.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so yeah, so she, Lisa, my midwife, she was just like, look, I'm gonna be just like gently coaching you because you've had an epidural. And anyway, so I think I pushed for two quite some time, maybe like 2 and 2.5 hours or something.
Yeah, which is
Yeah,
in the
a couple
realm
of
of
hours. It was,
normal for a first baby, let alone an epidural, yeah.
quite lengthy. I mean, also like I don't really think that I ever kind of hit like transition as well, because I mean, I know that epidurals can slow, they can slow things down a little bit too, but I, yeah, my surges were still like maybe at most, like 3, 4 minutes apart.
More
But
potatoes.
never experienced that, like,
More potatoes.
like
More potatoes.
surge on surge on
More.
surge. Yeah, so it was kind of funny. I was laying on the bed, like, had one leg like up on Lisa's shoulder, and just like, I would feel that pressure. I'd stopped giving myself the epidural when she told me I was fully dilated, so that I could kind of be like, have the least amount of it in my system as I could. But yeah, we kind of go, oh, like I'm feeling some pressure, push, and then we'd all just be like hanging out, waiting for the next one. Like, my mum was still there, Amy and Sophie were still there,
Stop.
and we were all just kind of like hanging out, just have my leg up on this lady's shoulder, like just waiting for the next surge. Anyway, so yeah, we just kind of went along with that for quite some time. I did actually try to get up on my knees. I did ask them, like, can I just try and move around? And they were very accommodating, like as accommodating as they could be. But yeah, I mean, I was just too like exhausted and like couldn't really like, yeah, too exhausted to kind of like sustain it. But yeah, good. It was nice to be able to try. I feel like it was maybe even more of just like me exercising my right to like just like do kind of what I wanted to do, or do like what you're not allowed to do at hospital or whatever, Anyway, so after a while, yeah, I could feel her head, could feel her crowning, and it was just the classic, like, here's a head, oh, and then it's gone. Here's a head, oh, then it's gone. Like, I could, obviously she was just, and that's what they do to protect you, right? So, it was a lot of that for a while. And then she was fully crowning. And that, like, I felt that. It was actually awesome. I really like did want to feel as much as I could of the pushing. So anyway, yeah, when her head was like, half out, maybe, I was like, damn, that's a baby's head.
The baby coming out of my body.
Yeah.
Wild.
Like, So wild, so wild, so cool, but yeah, so wild. And so yeah, I pushed her head out, and then pretty soon after that, just pushed, and then I pushed again, and the rest of her came out. So she came out like quite easily, like her head, and then yeah, her shoulders and body. Yeah, she was there. She was here, and she, yeah, we were just both crying. I was just sobbing. She was crying. I was crying. Everyone was crying. I was like, "Oh God, we made it. We're here. We made it." Her umbilical cord was quite short, so I couldn't quite like it was quite. I couldn't bring her all the way up. But yeah, again, like. Like they were, yeah, Lisa was great. Like I just, yeah, just I just got to have her straight on my body. Yeah, it was wild. It was wild. Yeah, the placenta, I felt like they were kind of rushing me. Again, Lisa was like, we're gonna have to like look, if the placenta doesn't come soon, this is like minutes after I've given birth. If the placenta doesn't come soon, think about, yeah, syntocin again. And I was just like, how about I just like put her on the boob and we just like make it all happen naturally, you know? And she was like, sure. Anyway, so I just like put her on the boob. She latched well, like well, and then I birthed the placenta.
Amazing.
Not like a few minutes after that. And yeah, and they like boxed it all up for me. I was like, because I wanted to take it home, eat it and bury it, which I did do.
Yeah.
I ate some, buried some. But yeah, so they kind of like, yeah, did all of that for me, which was great. I did tear. I had to get stitches, actually. I did have like a second degree tear. That was probably the, yeah, getting the stitches was probably like the not so great experience of the hospital. I think like the whole birthing experience was really like, yeah, like I said, like supported. The doctor that came and did the stitches was like awful, actually. She like just didn't ask my consent before touching me. She was just like, she was just there. She was just stitching me up. Just didn't talk me through anything she was doing. Unlike every experience that I'd had leading up to that, of just like, okay, I'm gonna touch now. I'm gonna do this. This is what I'm doing next. Like, is this okay? How, like, just constantly being checked in with, and then like suddenly not being checked in. I actually felt really like, kind of confronted by that. Yeah, I just hung out. We hung out there for the day. They wanted me to stay for a while, but I was just like, the earliest that I can go, I would like to go. I remember having like cleaning my teeth and having a shower. Yeah, the shower and the brushing of the teeth. I was like, it was the greatest thing that I felt. But yeah, I was just there and I was like, wow, there's just, like my baby is here. She's just all bundled up in a little ball and asleep. And like, it just felt so like surreal and like so like kind of mundane and natural, but also so like just so otherworldly. Like, it was a lot like, yeah, it was a lot like feeling a lot all at once. And yeah, and we drove, I got picked up from the hospital and just even being in the car, I was like, what's going on? I'm in a car, I'm going home. Like, what even just went down? Like, yeah, it was just like so wild. And then like, yeah, coming home and being at home and, she's, they always sleep, like they just like, they're like asleep for 24 hours and then, and then they never sleep again. But I just remember that like first, yeah, that first night she was just sleeping and I was just couldn't sleep. I was just like, you like, there's just, you're here. There's just this little person here now. Like, yeah, mind blowing.
Talk to me about like how it felt when everybody kind of went home and it was just you and her. And that fourth trimester of integrating what you just passed through.
Yeah, what was going through my mind? I think, like, I don't know. I felt like I could kind of breathe when it was just the two of us. I think, like, after just going through all that kind of, having that whole experience of having a whole lot of, other people's energy in my space. Once it was just the two of us, I think, part of me felt like, oh, I can just, like, I can breathe now. And then part of me was also like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Like, what happens next? You know? Yeah, it was kind of just like, oh, what's next? And like that first, yeah, that the fourth trimester. Yeah, I felt really, I don't know. I did feel really supported. Like I had meal train set up for me, like I didn't have to cook for a month and like little things like that. But at the same time, I did feel quite just like quite alone. But I mean, I think there's an aspect of that that's kind of important, like part of the initiation, I think, because it is, it is your own experience. Like no one can do that for you. Do you know what I mean? Like there's kind of an important aspect of being able to kind of traverse that on your own. But like yeah, with supports in place, I guess. So like I said, like that meal train and my mum was coming up just to help with like, house stuff and cleaning and cooking and like I didn't have to do anything like for that first 4 weeks, which was awesome. Yeah, and I think through that as well, like I mean I really felt that like hormone that big shift like a couple days into, post birth. I felt like really teary all the time. Like, yeah, I think that I wasn't expecting that either. And again, like I said earlier, like I'm quite a not a super emotional person. So I think like having all that emotion come up again was quite confronting for me. Yeah, I remember just like trying to kind of make sense of it and like really struggling to, yeah, just like really struggling actually to like sit with like the grief, I think. And I had this like I actually had some really good like aftercare. Like I had a midwife come and check on me like a couple of times and she was really beautiful. And she kind of I remember talking to her on the phone. She was just like, how's this, how's that, how's this, how's that? And I was like, oh, is it like normal that I just feel like crying all the time? Like at the drop of a hat? And she was like, totally. She was just like, it's totally normal. And I was like, oh, okay. Awesome. Like, cool. Yeah. And which was so, it was really beautiful to hear that, I think, because like, despite having like my mum around and like some really close friends kind of come and visit, I still felt really not fully like understood or like fully kind of seen in the experience that I was having. Yeah, I think God, this is the next big journey. Yeah, I think like I don't have like a, I mean, I have a beautiful kind of inner circle and a beautiful, family and, community, but I don't have any, like, I'm kind of the first of my circle to have a baby. So that was kind of a big, kind of thing, I guess, like that kept that was like one of the first big things I kind of felt like I had to work through postpartum, because even though I had like, beautiful, loving friends and family around, I still like I felt quite disconnected from them, I think, like, which was like, yeah, kind of big when you're trying to, I guess, like rebuild yourself, or well, not rebuild yourself, but like, just getting to know yourself as a mother. Like you're a new, like maiden when
Daddy
from maiden to mother, like you're a new
is good.
person.
Daddy
I very much felt like I was
is good. Daddy is
a different person after I gave birth. And like I really feel like I let, yeah, I just like lent in to like, I just completely let go of who I was.
Just love to hear what that felt like for you integrating like back into life now as a mother, like from being a maiden now into a mother, and then what support or things or resources you wish you had more of. Just so like we can start to kind of unpack this a little bit more practically so that other mothers can we can ask for the support, I guess. I think it's just something that we need to have more of a discussion around so that we can change this reality. Like motherhood isn't meant to be this isolated, and it's also not meant to be something like that we're meant to carry alone, and yeah, if that makes sense.
Yes, perfect, makes perfect sense. So I guess I think like my experience of kind of like integrating motherhood with like the rest of kind of life, I guess, yeah, has been a really lengthy process for me. It's been quite a challenging one as well. I think like once I kind of, yeah, once Amara was earthside, I kind of felt like, oh, I'm a mother now, and like this is my purpose right now. And I felt really like actually really quite disconnected from music and like my kind of life's purpose before she arrived. It took me a while to kind of stitch everything, yeah, like weave everything together. I feel like I'm still figuring it out, to be honest. I mean, like logistically, even just like being a musician playing gigs late at night, like all felt really impossible for me for a long time, just like because I'm on my own, like I don't have someone else that could help with bedtime or anything, and like I feed her to sleep, and like it just seemed like I wasn't going to be able to kind of get back into music in a big way for a long time, which was fine. Like I really made my peace with that. Like I was really, yeah, really committed to just being a mum. And like, and I just knew that the other things that I love to do would kind of come back into my life when they were supposed to. Yeah, and I think part of me thought maybe like I kind of heard about other mothers getting really like creative after they'd given birth. And I just felt like I actually felt quite creative in those first like early months, those early months. And I did write, like I wrote music in those early months. And then I think like I kind of hit a point where, and I'm still sort of at that point where I'm just so like, is like I'm just so at capacity all the time that I just don't have like the space to write, or like, yeah, the sort of space to create those things. I mean, like as a single parent, I think that's been probably like one of my, biggest kind of challenges, is just like having to do everything, having to do absolutely everything myself all the time, 24 hours a day, has made it, yeah, tricky for me to do other things, I guess. And I think like, yeah, tying into like what you were saying or what you were asking about, like what, like what do we kind of, what resources would we like to have, or what do we like, what do I kind of crave, I guess. And I mean, like, for me, I just crave like other mothers. Like, I just want to be around other mums. And I still am not like, I still kind of haven't quite found my, like, my sea legs, not my sea legs, but like my kind of community, I guess. Like, I have a handful of friends that don't live close, like, don't live close by. So I think for me, like, being around other mums is key. And if there was one thing that I was going to do differently, it would have been to like, kind of like, I wish that I had known that, I think, like at the beginning. Yeah, just like other mothers, like even just like I've honestly like pictured it, and I feel like I just need to, I'm hitting a point where I feel like I just need to like start something myself. But like even just like a cer like yeah, like a circle. Like once a month, I mean, like honestly, once a week would be way better. But like just having that regular connection with other mums would be a game changer. Every time I get to just like hang out with a friend who's a mum, I'm just like, oh, I feel so like, oh, I feel so seen. Like I feel so, understood. And just like at ease, because we just get it,
Yeah, and it's the way it's meant to be. There's that
Exactly.
deep remembering and knowing like we're meant to mother side by side with other mothers who get it, and we can all help each other and just also just witness each other in it, because it's so intense day-to-day stuff that we carry and move through, and it's like no one is witnessing me in this. It's just that, yeah, to be witnessed and seen, and it's, yeah, knowing that it's normal, or yeah, that's part of why I even made this space, is like just part of that, craving that deeper connection with mothers and not knowing how to. It's so hard in modern society, we're so disconnected.
100% agree. Like, I love what you just said. Like, just to be witnessed. It's so simple, and I don't know why it's like, it's so hard. Like, it's so hard,
Yeah.
and it shouldn't be so hard. Like,
It's such a simple thing that we all crave so deeply. And yeah, it's almost unattainable. Like,
I know.
yeah.
And like, that's why I think like, and it's this space that you created is so like beautiful, but so essential. Like you are, in doing this, you are connecting, you're connecting mothers, like, and you're normalizing experiences, and like, it's one, yeah, it's one like essential thing that can kind of bring, yeah, bring mothers a bit closer together.
Yeah.
But I also, I mean, I feel like a really big issue that needs to be not tackled, but like, I don't know, looked at is even just like, where are all the maidens, like, where are all the maidens? They're like, I just think to myself, like, man, people without kids have no idea how much free time they
I couldn't agree more.
have. Like, and I get being busy. Like, I, before I had Amara, like, yeah, I was fucking hustling and tired and whatever. Like, but it's not, it's just this, like, once you have kids, it's next level,
Yeah.
And it's like, and maidens don't even, like, people don't have to have, like, a nap, like, not like all people without kids need and should have, like, some innate, like, interest in supporting people with kids. But it's just like, it's odd that it's just so small, I mean, I feel like a part of it is because so many, like, I don't know, less people are having kids, and it's kind of like, it's just kind of become smaller on people's radars.
Put on the back burner, I think. People are prioritizing careers and building assets and all other things before creating families. So it's really not valued as much. It's seen as like an extra thing that perhaps you might have, instead of it being this central value that we all hold and can support and respect the mothers who are creating life and raising the next generation. It's like, yeah, it's just seen, we're just sort of an afterthought. It feels like an afterthought, and it feels like no one knows how to show up to support us. And I think also I've mentioned this a few times that I think it's so valuable as well for maidens to, even in small ways, just be of service to mothers, because then if they ever choose to become mothers, they will have learnt so many skills. And it's so normalized caring for babies and, watching mothers breastfeed, and it'll feel so much more of a natural thing for them, instead of it feeling like such a shock and such a, they've never held a baby before, they've never, whatever. But I think that can help integrate all of these seasons by us being together more and sharing and supporting and yeah.
Totally, I couldn't agree more. But the bridging that, like bridging that gap, is just like it's just a slow process, yeah, it's just a slow, slow process. I guess we're paving, hopefully, just paving the way for our kids.
Yeah, I think part of it is just speaking it into being, having these conversations, bringing it to people's awareness. Maidens, it wouldn't be on their radar necessarily that mothers even want their support. And if we speak about it more, maidens will eventually be like, oh, maybe I can be of service and we can bring back kind of, yeah, reconnect. I just think it would have been such a normal thing for us all to be of service to one another in our different seasons of life. But now, as is everything, we're so disconnected. It's all so severed and compartmentalized. And like, it's just like, instead of it being this beautiful, connected journey through life where we all can like witness one another and be there for one another in all the different seasons, it's like, yeah, and we all crave it, and we all. It's all just like this. We know it's how it's meant to be. There's this thing inside all of us, I feel, as women, but we don't know necessarily how to articulate it or how to fix it. And so I just feel so deeply that just coming together and just talking is just like that first step, and doing the healing and just coming back to basics, really. It's like, this is not sustainable what we're doing right now. Anyway. Is there any any other final thoughts or things you'd like to share before you can get back to your little one? She's done so well.
Yeah, I guess just I don't know, I just just completely concur with what you just said in terms of just getting back to basics and having conversations and like I don't know, just like also just like not giving a fuck too, like just not giving a fuck and like being vulnerable and sharing, like knowing that like it will, you will be witnessed,
Hi.
like like showing up in these spaces,
Hi.
giving other
Hi. Hi.
women permission,
Hi. Yeah,
I love that so much, because I think also as women we have this people-pleasing tendency and to be good girls and not make someone else feel uncomfortable by sharing something. And it's such a disservice to our own selves, like giving us that permission to feel witnessed and held and to share. But also you're not then like giving that permission, as you said, to other women who might need to share or hear the thing that you have to say. There's something in your story that will resonate with somebody else and help them immensely on their journey. And we need to
What a
stop
ripple effect.
being so hypersensitive, I think, and like and take up the space we need in our experiences and speak our truth and stop constantly gaslighting ourselves and censoring ourselves.
Totally taking up space and also just not giving in to that, like, that external story of like in being invisible, you know, like knowing that we're not, not reinforcing that story, you know.
Yeah, I think these conversations are so important to have and just keep sharing about how we traverse these thresholds as well. People aren't always even aware, women aren't still mostly aware of like the term matrescence and how literally your brain changes. And that's why we feel so like you feel like a completely different person. And just like it's that's the way it's meant to be because you're like you're being your brain is restructuring so that you can be alert and there for your young. And so many women freak out about this and have this identity crisis. On top of this, we don't support this initiation into motherhood at all. And society has this obsession with eternal youth and maidenhood and all the things, but it's so normal to feel like a different person, and it's so normal to go through a transitional period of reintegrating into society and like finding your footing. And it's so necessary to ask for what you need and take up the space and use your voice because that's then got to be part of the change for our daughters and our granddaughters. And it's hard work though, being on the forefront of that, because it's like fucking lonely and it's a lot. But
I know, totally. I think it's also like even a lot of pressure, just like I don't know, I find myself kind of getting into like even in like kind of obsessing about like, oh no, like my daughter needs to, like, she needs to witness me taking up space so that she takes up space, like, you know, so that she doesn't kind of repeat, you know, repeat these like, patterns and behaviors and stuff. Like, I think that's why it's such big, that's why it's so big, because we are on the forefront. We're trying to change things for ourselves and our little ones. Like, it's fucking huge. And you know,
We're doing pretty well. And also just giving ourselves that grace, like we're human beings, the fact that we're trying, that's enough. And such big things, big topics. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing and multitasking with your toddler. sharing your birth story, Leah. I really appreciate hearing that and just adding
No, thank you.
more stories out there.
You so much for having me, and yes, and having us show up in in the chaos.
Well, this
But no,
is called Here to Be Human, so I expect you everybody who shows up to just be human and messy and like
it's yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just, it's a real, a real invitation to, to show up exactly as you are, which I love. And yeah, it's been beautiful to share. Thank you so much, Lucy. Really, yeah. It's just like important, so important, this work that you're doing in the space that you're holding. So I'm really grateful.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. For more, you can find me on Instagram at Here to Be Human Podcast. If this space is resonating for you, please like, subscribe, and share so that this podcast can reach more people. See you next time for more conversations.